I don't face anything like what Kelly faced, but that general debate about the trying to fix the child and the frustrations involved and the debate between that side and then the adult people with autism who are, you know, who believe in neurodiversity and this idea that, you know, we should accept kids just as they are, and attempts to try and help them, which shade into attempts to try and fix them, are obnoxious and offensive. I mean, this is a debate I am well versed in because my son goes to an Asperger school, and so I'm just well aware of all the issues involved in a case like this.
The way that you frame it in the story is that you write that some parents of kids with autism, you know, think that they can, there's the idea that they can fix their child, the idea that there are some miracle cases. Kelly probably thought this. What do you think of this belief?
I think it's really damaging, and I see even more so looking at a case like this. I mean, there was a very subtle examination of this phenomenon recently in the New York Times Magazine. So since Kelly started entering this issue many years ago when Izzy was young, there's been more research done on it, and it turns out that there actually is a subset of kids who do, in fact, reliably, nobody likes the word cured, but whose symptoms of autism fade so much that they very closely resemble their neurotypical peers. The problem is that you can't tell at the outset when you do this intense therapy whether your kid is going to be in that category or not.
Izzy went to the Great Lakes Center for Autism, and she came back right before the incident happened. You described that Kelly viewed this as a cascade of disasters. Why do you think those events in particular were a turning point for Kelly Stapleton in her mind?
Right. So I think we have to be very careful to remember that this was how Kelly Stapleton perceived the series of events. So there isn't that much disagreement about what actually happened, that Izzy was not allowed to go to the local school, that Izzy did hit her in some way when she got out of the center. Only Kelly Stapleton perceived those as absolute disasters and you know, led her into a hopeless place, whereas, say, her husband, who experienced the same set of events, would have called them expected setbacks or bumps in the road, but that they were basically on the right path. So I think, you know, you're looking at the same set of events, but through totally different lenses.
Matt Stapleton's family has accused Kelly of being a drama queen, and Kelly herself describes how she thought that she was taking Izzy to heaven or escorting her there when she lit the grills. But at the sentencing, in her final statement, she called herself a monster, you know, and asked for 15 years from the judge. What do you think she actually believes?
I think that Kelly has, you know, one thing that stuck with me is something that one of the psychiatrists said, where she said she lacked a kind of ego glue. And I think that makes sense if you think about it. I think Kelly has fluctuated throughout between extreme self-flagellation. This was my fault. I could never help her. I wasn't the right mother for her. I am the worst person in the world. And a kind of self-justification or a penchant for drama. So I don't really think you have to decide between those things. I think this situation is so unusual. In other words, very, very few parents go so far as to try to kill their child that you are dealing with the personality problems. I mean, you have to be. I think a lot of parents faced with the same situation might be distraught or, you know, really despairing, but not necessarily cross the line into actually trying to kill a child. So you are dealing with a personality issue here.
People on Twitter have criticized some media coverage of the Stapleton trial as being overly sympathetic to Kelly for, you know, ignoring Izzy. Do you think that your piece was sympathetic overall to Kelly?
I wouldn't say that. I think that the piece told Kelly's reality as it was in her head. It told the reality of her sister-in-law. It explained what happened in the courts. And I think many people would read the reality in her head and think she's crazy, you know? And I think other people would read that reality and say, boy, she's really dealing with a traumatic PTSD kind of situation. So it's clear I'm explaining things from inside her own head. Now, I've seen that. I've seen people say, oh, yet another story justifying Kelly's, you know, reality. And I think, you know, the way to satisfy that would be to never explain her reality. But I think so long as you responsibly say, hey, these kind of stories ignore Izzy, which is in her sister-in-law's voice, that you give Izzy a kind of personhood and a reality. And there's actually a scene in the story where I kind of give my own reactions and describe what Izzy was like and what Matt thought was Izzy and how Matt perceived Izzy. And so I think I basically leave it up to readers to decide. I mean, just as you saw in the courtroom, was highly split. You know, there was one side, which were Kelly's defenders and friends. There was another side, which was the Stapleton family. I mean, there are very, very strong feelings on both sides.
You met Izzy. What was your impression of her, and how did she seem when you saw her? And when did you see her?
I saw Izzy when I was reporting the story, which was just before the sentencing hearing. I saw her at home when I was interviewing Matt, and Matt and I went on an outing with her. And she seems as she was described. She is, you know, autism is a spectrum, and so kids have different challenges and capabilities. Izzy's very smart. She, you know, she does work on grade level with a lot of help and work. She's not exactly conversational, but she asks questions and is curious about people and retains information about people in her kind of autistic way, which to many people sounds very robotic. She'll fire off questions at you. On one day that I saw her, she was actually extremely frustrated for some reason. She was growing increasingly frustrated as we went on an outing in the mall. But, you know, I thought Matt did a wonderful job of using the methods that he'd been taught at the Great Lakes Center and over years of having help and workers at their house to kind of keep her in check and figure out what she needed. Now, it turned out on that day she ended up in the emergency room because there was something seriously wrong with her foot. So you can say, given that, she was, you know, amazingly well behaved, you know. She didn't lose her temper or anything. So, you know, all I can claim to have seen is this little slice of life. I think probably what happened is that there was a period when her behavior was out of control in the family, and it is not atypical. I mean, this happens sometimes with autistic kids when they enter puberty and when they are teenagers, and I think then it takes a tremendous amount of work and intervention to get their behavior under control, which, you know, is what happened. I mean, you, in a different mind, in a non-distorted reality, Izzy's a success story. She's somebody whose behavior was out of control, whose parents got her into exactly the right place, and who was essentially trained through behavioral training to get her more violent behavior under control. So that's, you know, that's where you can't understand what Kelly's thinking, because she lost hope with Izzy at exactly the moment when she should have been the most hopeful in some ways.